Follow traffic, clear visual approach, runway 4 right, maintain 17 down on the 5 mile final. 17 to 5 out.
Your next check ride might look different than you've become used to, but training providers and the industry are working to fix that. From the National Business Aviation Association, this is Flight Plan, sponsored by Varion. I'm Rob Finfrock with your trusted source for the very latest business aviation news and information. The annual Pilot in Command Proficiency Check Ride for dual crew and turbine-powered aircraft, as required under 14 CFR 61.58 of the Federal Aviation Regulations, is an important step in maintaining safe flying operations. In recent years, there's been growing emphasis on going beyond just checking off the rote requirements of a 61.58, and instead providing pilots the chance to include specific, requested training scenarios as part of that check ride. Given our industry safety focus, one might reasonably assume there wouldn't be too much controversy in that approach. But the FAA has recently adopted a firmer stance with Part 142 training providers to adhere more closely to the agency's 61.58 requirements. With more, here's Tim Schanauer, Senior Director of Training Solutions for Business Aviation at CAE.
Progressive checking is actually defined in the FAA Order 8900.1, and the section of reference for those who would want to look it up is Volume 3, Chapter 54, Section 1. And then that definition, I'll just read it. It says, progressive checking is a practice whereby an applicant is trained on a task or set of tasks, and then having been trained on the task, subsequently checked on those tasks. After this checking phase, further training is conducted on additional tasks, and those tasks are then checked. The process continues until all tasks have been trained and subsequently checked. Progressive checking is not permitted in the cases where the check is intended to result in airman certificate, which basically means you can't use it for initial training, but it can be used for recurrent training.
I'm with you so far, Tim. So where's the problem?
Just to summarize in more plain language, we had done something called consecutive checking. So it was a perception that there wasn't necessarily a check ride, although very clearly and definitively in the regulations, it does say that any applicant needs to be made well aware that they're being checked. So they were, for the most part, going through what they were considering like a continuous check over time, and that had been in the order previously authorized. But the big change now, Rob, is that the FAA is taking a very hard stance on training all tasks before they're checked, which is in that definition in regards to progressive checking. There are several ways of training that are in the order. The first way is a standalone check, which is basically going right into a check ride or some training in advance and then going into a check ride. And then, of course, the progressive checking is still authorized by the FAA. What's not authorized, though, is that continuous checking, where we have the discretion to check some items first, such as normal taxi, normal takeoff, normal landings, as compared to having to train them first. That's what we lost.
And that loss carries real implications for business aviation operators. Dondi Pangalangan is Senior Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at Clay Lacy Aviation.
Historically, what has happened in the past under a 6158 event is we do a maneuver and we check it off. If they do a steep turn and they're within the ACS standards, then you can move on. If they are outside of the parameters of the ACS, then retraining can occur. And so what typically happens is that you're trying to show someone's proficiency and currency by doing these maneuvers validations, if you will, like a steep turn, to see how much training may or may not be required. So the world has kind of evolved where we go in, we think that, okay, on day one, we're going to get all these check ride items done, and then we can potentially be done early because maybe on the day one, we're completely proficient and checked out on all the maneuvers.
My third guest today is Brian Kester, NBAA's Director of Flight Operations and Regulations.
To continue with what Dondi was saying, the advantage of the progressive check is that it's a more efficient use of the pilot's time. It allows them to be more efficient with the things that they know how to do. They can just go right in and check those elements. And what's happening with the regression away from progressive checking currently, the pilot is forced to spend more time training on things that they already know how to do, which takes time away from training on things that could be more helpful, whether that's single engine approaches or other abnormal operations. they're not spending the time on those elements. And today we have really good data on the things that pilots need to spend time on in order to be proficient. And as they're wasting time on other things, they're not spending their time where they need to.
More in just a moment after this word from our sponsor.
Take your aviation operations to new heights. Introducing Varion, formerly known as ATP, your ultimate partner in achieving maximum aircraft uptime. At Varion, we understand the challenges faced by everyone in aviation. Our industry-leading technology solutions revolutionize aircraft management, so there's no more waiting, no more wondering, and no more wasted effort. Get real-time visibility of your maintenance, inventory, operations, and regulatory data right at your fingertips with an easy-to-use system backed by a team of experts with deep aviation knowledge offering 24/7, 365 support. After 50 years in the business, we have built a growing reputation for getting our customers more aircraft uptime. That's why thousands of aircraft operators worldwide have already discovered the power of Varion. Say goodbye to downtime and hello to increased efficiency and profitability. Visit Varion.com to learn more. Varion, let's get you more uptime.
We're back now with Timothy Schanauer, Donnie Pangalangan, and Brian Kester, and our discussion about FAA requirements for 61.58 recurrent training and check rides. Brian, continuing from where we left off, I understand there's another unintended consequence from the FAA's stricter requirements for check rides.
What's happening right now, folks are moving to just doing 61.58 checks in the airplane. If you're not getting anything out of training, there's not as much incentive to go to the training center. So they're just taking that and saying, well, we might as well just do it in the airplane. That's not safe either. We don't need to be doing abnormal operations in the aircraft when we have safer alternatives available.
Of course, we want to make sure that we're training to the highest level of safety possible in standardization. This is a phrase that I use often, and Tim's heard it probably more times than he cares to. But what we currently do is archaic and irrelevant. So if we were to able to migrate toward, and Tim alluded to this, toward a 121-like training philosophy, we could actually train to the incidents and accidents and other FOQA data that's available to us that actually can help increase the safety margins for our pilots. We don't train where we fly. We train in areas of large airports due to the restrictions placed by the FAA when these curriculum were certified. The industry has progressed well beyond what we're currently doing. So for us to be able to look at a progressive check ride, whether it's 91 or 135, in the same vein that the 121 world does, we could actually have much more relevant operationally based training that's data driven, right, to make our pilots that much more safe in how we operate every day.
Great point, Dondi. Tim, I'd imagine this situation is every bit as frustrating for training providers as it is for pilots.
It's been a battle of really the past couple years where the CAE, as well as Flight Safety's CMO and CMUs, the FAA's arms of supporting the 142 training providers, have notified us that their interpretation and legal's interpretation from the FAA has gotten more literal. It's tricky in the words that I had read earlier from that definition, which talked to all tasks shall be trained prior to checking. That word all is what I think is causing this pain in the industry. To Brian's point, we're spending time training tasks that are normal tasks, like a normal taxi, normal startup, normal approach and landing, and wasting time training those first as compared to checking them straight away. So you see a difference both in airline training and in business aviation, where the airlines focus more on real world training scenarios. They get through their license revalidation, and then they move on towards more scenario-based training elements. And that's a direction that we wanted to go in business aviation. Certainly the avocation from NBAA, our customers both on the private side or commercial air carriers, they have that desire to train more practically, things that actually matter, safety elements in training. Last year, CAE and also our Flight Safety had filed and requested something called an acceptable means of compliance to get special consideration in regards to progressive checking. Our philosophy was we've been training this way for decades, and it's been mitigating safety issues.
Brian, how is NBAA working to change the FAA's perspective on this issue?
We're bringing this up with the FAA, making sure that they fully understand the impact of their interpretations and of their decisions, as well as moving towards policies that will help us in the long term. We're looking to find a solution that works for both Part 135 and Part 91 operators that allows folks to ensure they leave the training center a better pilot than they entered. We've got some cool stuff in the pipeline there. Tim has been a part of our standardized curriculum initiative for a few years now, and that project is largely geared towards Part 135 operations, but it's looking at how can operators maximize their time in training. The things that they do every day, they can go in and they can conduct those checks without any problems or hesitations. The things that they may not do as often in the aircraft, they'll get a little opportunity to practice those, train on those, complete the check, and then be able to use the rest of the time with training for real world scenarios. One of my favorite examples is as this group has beta tested this program with a Citation Excel, and a door had come open mid-flight. It wasn't one of their planes, but this had happened on that airframe. And so they used some of the time that they had left to train on that scenario. What would they do if the door came open mid-flight? So that's the kind of real-world application that we're looking for. How can folks prepare for what they're seeing actually on the flight line and in the skies?
Right, because after all, the goal is that pilots realize actual helpful lessons in these checks to become more proficient pilots. Right, Nandi?
I agree. And let me just go back to my philosophical statement about training. Training is the foundation of safety. So with all these things that we're trying to do in the industry in collaboration with NBAA and the training providers, we really want to enhance the safety levels for our pilots through training. And that, to me, that's my number one concern and how we could make this industry better, safer, is through looking at how we currently do it and the strict interpretations that the FAA has with the regulations and the order. And we need to pivot to what modern airplanes are capable of, what the modern pilot is capable of, and we need to truly enhance safety through the training that we could be doing. And that to me is the number one from my perspective as an operator. I want to enhance the safety for my crews, my clients, the owners, the aircraft, obviously. But we need to do that in the training. And that's where we're missing the mark. We're not training to enhance safety. We're training to get the check in the block.
Even in this current situation, Dondi, how can operators maximize their training and learning opportunities?
Well, we need to train to what's happening in the industry. We have FOCWID data, we have ASAP data, we have incidents and accidents that are already at our disposal. So if we could collate, we'll call it the top 10 of those issues that we see in that data, and we create content within the curriculum footprint in order to train those items. And as both Tim and Brian alluded to, not train or check on the things that we do every day. I mean, for me to do a pre-flight, I do it every day. For me to do a pre-start check, I do it every day. The things that we don't see are the things that other people have experienced that we could all accelerate our learning curve by training those in the simulator.
Tim, I'm sure you agree that operators should work with their training provider to realize the maximum safety benefits from these recurrent check rides.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have that format available. What I think Dondi and Brian and I are looking for is to get credit for training the right things so that you can maximize that sim time. So we do offer footprints, so does our competitor, to do additional training elements that you'd like to do. And an AQP term and a Part 121 term is called Special Procedure Operations Training. So we do have the ability at CE to incorporate operators' feedback into training sessions post-check ride. So if the check is over, you now have additional time that's available in the sim. You can incorporate elements that you've identified by a FOCWA or elements that you want to enhance from an operational perspective in your operation, or you know, accidents and incidents that have occurred in the past, that is an option currently available. Where I think we we seek the reform from the FAA through the help of NBAA and also industry is to recalibrate a bit what they are checking us on, because they're limiting the amount of time that we have available in a sim to actually get the more meaningful training elements that will enhance safety.
What are your thoughts, Brian?
The biggest thing is I think the operators need to work with their training provider ahead of time. If they go in with a plan or with items that need to be addressed that are relevant and specific to their operation, typically the training provider is able to accommodate those. So while this may not be the way they're used to seeing training over the last few years, they can still make their time at the simulator productive while we work through some policy changes and try to make sure that in the long run, there's a pathway for them to maximize their time at training, get the most out of it that they possibly can.
It's important to note that progressive check rides remain available, and to reiterate that operators should work with their training provider to resolve any questions they may have about structuring their next recurrent check for the greatest safety benefit for their operations. We'll continue to monitor this issue and bring you updates on the NBAA website. For more information about this and other factors affecting the safety of business aviation flight operations, check out nbaa.org/safety. And that's the latest from the National Business Aviation Association. Remember, you can subscribe to all Flight Plan episodes at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts, including by asking your virtual assistant or connected device. Of course, you can also download Flight Plan directly from nbaa.org. I'm Rob Finfrock. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for a new episode of Flight Plan.
Right base, sending out 3500.
All right, we got him inside. We're slowing it back to 170.